Lee Whannell is here, the writer and also one of the stars of Insidious. And before we talk about Insidious, we have to say you are the man behind Saw.
Yes.
Just in case everybody's forgotten.
Yeah, the man responsible. James and I did Saw way, way back in 2004.
That's right.
Cast your mind back into the mists of time. Remember a different time. The war was fresh in Iraq. The Bush administration was wiretapping its residents. It was a different time.
That's right. And horror needed to be redefined. And you did that, but then you stepped away kind of from the whole Saw sequels, although you've had a hand in maybe writing something.
I wrote 2 and 3, and then left, and two new writers came on board for 4, 5, and 6. And 7.
And 7, which is the 3D version.
Of course. We've finally caught up to Jaws 3D in terms of cultural relevance. No, it's going to be good, actually. If any franchise is worthy of 3D, it's Saw. Those Rube Goldberg contraptions will look quite good when they're coming out at you. And I can't wait to see it. And it's the final one in the series. So in a way, it's kind of melancholy for me to be... It's been this constant in my life.
And every year, like clockwork.
Amazing. Unprecedented. No other film franchise in history has released a film every year.
But it's good to see that you're tackling something different. You're stepping back from the gore and going back into more psychological thrills and feelings and emotions and things that, you know, it's scary, but there is no real blood. There is no blood. Well, I don't know the real blood, but there's no blood pouring and no guts spilled and no evil, menacing person. This is a ghost story, possession, astral projection. Did you get interested in this a long time ago? Because you love telling stories.
Yes, I do. And actually, James and I were interested in haunted house stories and ghost stories long before we were interested, before we ever conceived the idea for Saw. The idea for Saw came about through necessity. At the time, we were Melbourne struggling ex-film students. We'd just come out of film school. We realized that people don't just wander around handing out money to ex-film students. So we were going to have to do something no budget. And so we came up with the idea of two people in one room. But long before that, we would tell each other ghost stories. And that's what really fascinated us. That's what scared us. I remember going over to James's crappy little apartment in Melbourne and I'd be there late into the night and we'd be telling each other ghost stories and then I'd have to drive home. And I could barely stand to do it. I just had my eyes in the rearview mirror just waiting for something to leap out of the back seat. And I think you got to use yourself as a barometer. And so James and I decided to put everything that's ever really scared us into this film, Insidious.
What is it about the ghost story and that just makes the hairs on our skin stand up? And to tell you the truth, a couple of times, Insidious was able to do that for me.
Oh, wow. Thank you. That's good to hear. You know, it's interesting with human beings. I think that the real life prospect of having somebody break into your house, a real person, or somebody come up to you on the street with a knife and ask for your wallet, or any one of the many scary things that can happen to us in any big city like Toronto on a daily basis, if we're confronted with that, that's truly scary. A ghost story is a scare that you can handle. You know what I mean? It's not a guy with a knife breaking into your house in the middle of the night. It's an unknown entity. And what's scary about it is the mystery factor. It's the unknown. Do we really understand what happens after we die? If somebody claims they've seen a ghost standing at the end of their bed in the middle of the night, and believe me, I've heard many stories like that from people I trust, from people who don't even really have an interest in ghost stories. I've had friends of mine tell me that they've opened their eyes in the middle of the night, they've woken up from the sleep, looked down, and somebody's standing at the end of their bed just staring at them.
You're giving me chills right now. You know that.
Yeah, and you see that. And the person I'm thinking of when I tell you this now told me that they knew it wasn't a real person. They knew it was a ghost, for lack of a better expression. And this thing that was just staring at them. And then it just sort of faded away into blackness. Now, I think about something like that. Now, is it much more pulse-pounding if you or I woke up and it was a real person standing at the end of the bed who wanted to do harm to us? Sure, it's terrifying. And you know, ask the police department of Toronto or any major city. Plenty of people have experienced that. But there's something about a ghost standing at the end of your bed that touches on a really primal fear and a primal question, the ultimate human question. What comes after?
What lies beyond?
Always been fascinating.
Yeah. And this, the fascinating thing to me then is when you take all of that fascination and fold it back into a story that is crisp and is trying to, you know, push the envelope and keep us interested and on the edge of our seat for the hour and a half.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that comes the tricky part. You can't really just string a bunch of scare scenes together, although some films have tried. Better to hang the scare scenes off the back of a strong story that people are invested in so that they don't even know they're watching a scare scene. They're just watching a story unfold. Slasher films, just to pick out a genre, are particularly set up where the filler, which would be the stuff between the death scenes, is just exactly that. It's filler. It's like, yep, let's get through this. Boy, girl, back of the seat. They're about to get it on. And here he comes, the killer. We wanted to make a film that didn't feel like that, didn't have that structure where you were bored between scare scenes. We wanted, and I think a film like The Others and The Exorcist and The Shining achieved this, we wanted a film where the scenes between the scare scenes were just as compelling. And we needed a real family with good actors to bring the family to life. I hope we did that. And it makes the outlandish stuff that comes later in the film go down a lot easier. It's more palatable. You go with it because you believe in the family. Some people won't, but, you know, whatever. Art is subjective. You've got to throw it out there and see what comes back. You can't have one opinion for everybody.
And you're in the film too.
Yes, I play a ghost hunter. Myself and my friend Angus Sampson, who's Australian, he came over. It was kind enough to come over and play this role. And I guess we play the comic relief of the film, you know?
Like the high-tech guys
come
in, and it's a very funny scene, but it's serious stuff that
it is.
They dive into. It looks like, oh, my God, I don't want it. things happen.
Exactly. We get really involved in it. And I like that. I like bringing in that tech element. And if you talk to real-life paranormal investigators, they're much more invested in the tech side of it than they are in the hocus-pocus. In fact, they're keen to dispel the hocus-pocus side of it because they know that the public perception of people interested in the paranormal is of a bunch of kooks. You know, a bunch of guys in I Want to Believe t-shirts sitting around, you know, talking about apparitions. That's not what these people are. They really are interested in it as a science. And I think there's only one university in the world that has a properly accredited course in paranormal science. I can't think of what that is. It may be Wales, but I don't want to misquote. There's only one in the world. No one wants, the scientific world doesn't want to accredit it because you're dealing with the unknown. But there are people out there who are obsessed in it, and with the internet today, you can find them very easily. I mean, you and I could jump on the internet right now and bring up 10 websites for paranormal investigators. Believe me, they approach that science the way my character and Angus's character in the film approached it, with equipment, scientific equipment, for reading electricity. Really interesting to hear those guys' interpretation of what a ghost is. To them, to a lot of the guys I spoke to, it's electrical energy. We are made up of electrical energy, and when we die, these people believe that electrical energy becomes part of the atmosphere and has the power to move things, to move chairs around.
And that's what they're looking for with all of the high-tech stuff, or sometimes the goofy-looking stuff that actually works.
Right. We wanted to make sure. I mean, these guys are hobbyists. They're not rich. They're not, you know, they're poor. So all the equipment is just retrofitted and sort of compiled out of other bits and bobs that they can find.
I don't want to give away too much of the movie, so I'm not going to get into, we're not going to get into, the, you know, the characters and all of that, but I want to finally touch upon, you also do voice work, acting voice work, and you're going to be, you are one of the voices in Legend of the Guardians, the Owls of Ga'Hoole.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Oh, I'm so excited about it. In fact, the premiere for it is in Los Angeles soon. I'm not sure when this will air, but I am so excited about it. I'm acting with Angus, who plays Tucker in the film. It's he and I. We play sort of henchmen, and we had a ball. I mean, we flew to Sydney. Animal Logic, the company making the film, flew us to Sydney. And voice work is just amazing because you're so less self-conscious. As an actor, you've got a camera pointed at you, and it's hard to get out of your own head and not have that voice saying, oh, how does you, you know, how is this expression looking? Are you conveying angst? When you strip out the visual part and you just provide voice, I found that it just, it was a load off my shoulders and I was free to play. And I was reminded that acting is really just play acting. And I loved it. So look out for Jutt and Jatt, really the best characters in Legend of the Guardians.
Lee Whannell is the writer and also stars in Insidious along with Rose Byrne and Patrick Wilson. Thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you very much for having me.